You know that ridiculous way pet owners talk to their animals?
Who's my boy? You want a potty for daddy?
You're the best dog in the world.
Yeah, you won't hear any of that here. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome, and here we have Mike Morgan from Mid-Michigan Kennels. Welcome, Mike.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Hey, excited to have you on the show. You've got a fantastic operation down there in Eden Rapids, and I thought maybe Lee tells me all about it. I haven't been down there myself, but you and I have had some good conversations. Why don't you tell me about your kennels?
Well, Mid-Michigan Kennels, we offer basically two different types of services. We have a civilian side of our company where we train obedience classes for pet owners. And then we also have the law enforcement side of things where we train narcotics and explosives detection dogs for police agencies in the United States and around the world.
Maybe what would be helpful to the listeners is let's go back a little bit. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and that gives you a little better understanding why we're doing dog training and things like that.
Well, I went to high school in Grand Ledge and got a master's and a bachelor's degree in business. And when I got out of the service, I went to the police academy here in Lansing and started getting involved in training of police canines back in 1991. And it just kind of grew from there. And in 1997, I started my own company.
And if I... And a lot of your training while you were even in the service was related to dog and dog keeping. And yes?
Actually not. I was what I jokingly referred to as a pop-up target. My latter years in the service, I had friends that were MPs, and they worked with the military working dogs.
Uh-huh.
And that's what started the interest back in the mid to late 80s.
And then your passion kind of focused in on the dogs and an understanding of these dogs and what they're all about.
Absolutely.
What is the most, deep down in, what really draws you to dog obedience and dog kennels and the passion that you have?
Well, I just think that, dogs are one of the most loyal animals on the planet, in my opinion. I hear people say that dolphins are smarter, but I don't know that anybody's ever curled up on the couch on a rainy day and watched a good movie with a dolphin.
Sure. And I'm sure while you're in the military, probably being loyal was probably one of the most important aspects associated with being in there, and probably having a dog and seeing what his loyalty probably is a value shared by both.
Absolutely. The unconditional love and loyalty from a dog.
Well, you know why we have you on the show today is we want to learn a little bit more about one aspiration Lee and I both have is the idea of let's get into understanding the dog's mental outlook and maybe getting the pet owners that are sitting down there with their dogs better understanding what they're all about and what they aren't all about. And I think last week we talked about spiders and we had to stop and think a little bit about, what really it takes to be a spider owner. But I think it's a whole different ballgame when we're talking about dogs and dog keeping. I think we're in a new world where the internet and the conversations that everybody has associated with the TV shows that are on TV now, everybody has an idea of what dog obedience and dog training is. And I was really taken back by your understanding and depth of knowledge associated with it. In our conversations, we wanted to focus on one thing, and that was let's talk about the difference between being a dog and being a human, and then let's start talking about dog obedience.
Well, absolutely. I think one of the biggest mistakes a lot of people make with their dogs is they humanize them. They try to treat them like children or like a human being, and dogs think and interact and relate to things in a totally different manner than what people do.
Well, let's talk about that. How do dogs interact with each other? I think we have an idea, pack mentality. But I think realistically, I think you'd be far more qualified to answering what pack mentality means to a dog and how that relates to dog ownership.
Well, in a pack of dogs, let's use wolves, for example. In a pack of wolves, there's a very strong leadership, and there's an alpha male and alpha female, and they run the pack. And everybody else is subordinate to that. And the rules and the boundaries that are set forth by those leaders are very defined and they're very consistent. Things don't change based on what today is and what the whims of the leadership is. It's the same every day. And when we have a dog in our home, if we're not a strong leader or we're not consistent, we create a lot of the behavioral problems I get to see later on because of that.
That's probably you were mentioning stress. The dog feels stressed when they don't have that normal, consistent behavior. Is that right?
Right. And that normal, consistent leadership. You know, when a dog, for example, when a puppy's born into a pack of wolves, from day one and every day of its life, it gets to see how leadership works and how the pack functions and the dynamics within the pack. And it's very consistent. And so that puppy has a lifetime of on-the-job training. And when it reaches young adulthood and it feels like I'm going to take a step forward and try to take control and lead this pack, if they're successful in that coup and take over the pack as the leader, they've had a lifetime of on-the-job training and they know what they're doing when they assume that position. We take a puppy home, and as it matures, if there's no consistent leadership in our home, instinctually, the dog knows that there should be a leader of this pack, and I'm not seeing one. Therefore, I, as the dog or the puppy, I'm gonna step forward and try to become the leader. But they've had no training in how to do this, and they make a lot of mistakes. And it's that type of environment that causes a lot of stress. And when a dog has stress and there's no consistency and no leadership, it manifests itself in behavioral issues.
So when we get into dog obedience, it's all about leadership and understanding what leadership means to a dog?
It is. And, you know, that's the one thing that, if nothing else, I learned in the Army was that leadership's a tough position to be in. And a lot of pet owners, they don't want to step up with some tough love at times. And that's what it takes. And leadership, you make decisions that hopefully you're making them for the right reason. Mm-hmm. And if you're making them for the right reason, it's going to be for the betterment of the dog or our pack at home. And if you know you're doing it for those reasons, then you can be confident in it. But it's tough love sometimes to step up and be that leader.
Sure. Now, you had mentioned that with puppies, and, you know, we watch puppies rustle and tussle and kind of jump all over each other, and it sure seems like they're playing. But are puppies playing, or what is puppy play?
Well, they're definitely playing, but there's a purpose to the play. When two puppies are rolling around and growling and biting at each other, they're sorting out a social dynamic there. Who's going to be the more dominant? Who's going to be in a pack of dogs? There's a ladder, if you will. Mm-hmm. And when young puppies in a litter are doing that type of roughhousing and play, they're sorting out where they're going to fall on the ladder.
Okay. And is there any part of the ladder where every rung's the same, or is it always one on top of another on top of another?
I think that it's pretty much a stack. I mean, you're going to have your leadership, and then you're going to have the dogs as they go down the order to the very last dog. And it's a significant ladder in their mind, because in the wild, where you fall in the pack determines when you eat and when you mate. And that's self-preservation and preservation of the species, which are two very strong drives in a dog, in a dog's world.
Yeah, I would say that's one of the things that excites me about getting into this topic, is because I think most people want it to just be their friend on their terms, what they want in a dog or a cat or whatever that animal might be. It might be a macaw. And what's exciting about this is it brings forth one strong sense of responsibility on the part of the pet owner. If it's kind of hard to be a pet owner if what you're just looking for is a companionship that kind of meets all your personal needs, and your needs aren't trying to take a leadership role.
Well, the dog has needs too. I mean, we got to remember that dogs have more than just the physical needs of food, water, and shelter. They mm-hmm. have psychological needs as well. And to a dog, they need that leadership. They need somebody that's going to be clear and consistent and have very defined boundaries. And the boundaries don't change day to day. One of the things we talked about earlier here when you and I were talking was people are on Sunday afternoon when they're in their sweatpants and their t-shirts and they're just hanging out around the house, and they pat their chest and they say, "Come here, buddy." And the dog jumps up, you know, and puts its paws on the chest and they rub his ears and love him up.
Sure.
And then on Monday they come home from work and then their dress clothes, and the dog comes back to do that again. It wants to initiate that type of contact.
Exactly.
And it gets in trouble for it, and it's not consistent.